Giving birth at home used to be rare, and maybe something had happened more by accident than by choice. If you did it intentionally, people maybe raised an eyebrow a bit. They might have pigeonholed you as alternative. But that's changing, because since 2019, home births where you deliver your baby at home under the supervision of a midwife have doubled across Australia. Modern medicine has led to huge positives for women and their babies, and birth has become something that happens in hospitals as a default. So why are home births on the rise? Philippa Scott is the coordinator of Home Births Australia, and Alison Weatherstone is the chief midwife at the Australian College of Midwives. In just a tick, you'll hear about how home birthing is being used to fill vital gaps in maternity care. But what's it like to actually give birth at home? Maddie Waters is a Queensland mum of three. Maddie, who's in your family? Who are your kids?
Hi, I've got three kids. I've got two sons and a daughter. Their names are Monty, Kip and Rue.
Great names. You had a home birth recently with Rue. What led you to choose home birth this time around?
I had a really positive and empowering hospital birth with my first son. And with my second son, Kip, I was sent home after being in hospital for only 2 hours. I was given an ultimatum. I could either go home or they would break my waters to speed up labour, just because the midwife said my contractions weren't intensifying and she just didn't think I was progressing fast enough. So we packed up our bags and walked out, and we got down to the foyer, and I actually transitioned in the foyer and wanted to rip all my clothes off in the foyer. My partner, he grabbed a wheelchair and raced me back up to the birth suite, and my son was born in less than 2 minutes after arriving back in the birth suite. And there was something about being turned away from hospital for not doing good enough to kind of warrant their time when, in fact, I was about to have a baby in 10 minutes. It really affected me, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I nearly felt guilty that it affected me so much, because nothing went wrong. Like, physically, I was fine. My baby was fine. And I didn't know why I felt this way and why it made me so upset. And so when I fell pregnant with my third child, my daughter Rue, I knew I had to take kind of some control over the situation. And I really felt the only way I was going to get autonomy and control and support in my birth was to do it at home.
And so that was an option that was actually available to you through the health system, which hasn't always been the case.
No, yeah, it hasn't. And I had a few friends who had had home births, and so I knew who to call. And, yeah, when I called the home birth midwives and I had that initial consultation, I burst into tears. I couldn't retell my story of my hospital birth without, feeling all those emotions. And I booked in the home birth then and there, and as soon as I booked it in, I felt this huge relief that I'd made the right decision and I was kind of always meant to have this baby at home.
So I love a birth story, but give me the abridged version. Like, how did it go with Rue?
It was so beautiful. All my births started the same way, just a little bit crampy after dinner, and I kind of knew that tonight was the night. I thought I'll get as much sleep as I can, went to bed early and was really surprised. I woke up at 1 a.m, had a pretty good sleep, and contractions were kind of starting, but I thought I'd play it cool and stay in bed until about 3, where I could no longer lie down. I woke up my partner, Joe, and he called the midwives, kind of let them know what was happening. We were just kind of working through it together. We'd done this before. Joe set up the birth pool, and I could hear the midwife walking along my veranda, and I said, Joe, I think I'm ready to push. And so I just hopped straight in the bath. I actually didn't even see my midwife. I had my eyes closed the whole time. I could just hear her voice behind me. And 10 minutes later, Rue was born. And probably my favourite part of the whole thing was they went and woke up my two boys and brought them in right after she was born. And so we had this beautiful moment as a family of five. And my 3-year-old son, was just patting me on the back, telling me what a good job I did. It was just really beautiful. And we just slunk off into bed after that. The midwives cleaned up everything. I felt so safe the whole time. Like, these midwives are so educated and, yeah, they just know exactly what they're doing. And, yeah, it was beautiful.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and that's Maddie Waters describing a beautiful, probably ideal home birth with her third baby after maybe having a traumatic experience at hospital with her first. Philippa Scott is the coordinator of Home Births Australia, which is the peak body advocating for this style of birth in Australia. Philippa, welcome to Life Matters. How common is that story that Maddie told of having a traumatic experience in hospital and then choosing to home birth after that?
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Tegan. It is extremely common. It's my story. It's the story of most of the women I've worked with over the past 22 years as a birth advocate and as a birth trauma specialist. It was the specific reason why my daughter chose to birth my granddaughter at home for her first birth, because she knew she didn't actually need to be exposed and have a traumatic experience the first time round. And unfortunately, of the women that I work with and the women that come to Home Birth Australia, a good 80 to 90% of the women who experience birth trauma don't experience it because of a catastrophic event, but because of obstetric violence, coercion, all those sorts of, feeling a lack of respect within the system.
A lot of reporting by the ABC done on that over the last couple of years. What else is driving up the numbers of home births in Australia? Because COVID must have played a role here.
Sure. When hospitals started saying that you can't have mum, you can't have a doula, you can't even potentially have your partner in there when you're giving birth, it made what is, like Maddie beautifully described, a family event. It turned that into something that women were required to do solo, which took us right back to the mid-19th century, where women were being forced to do it alone, and they were removed from everybody. And so women sort of went, well, hold on, I'm not doing this by myself. I don't want to be alone. I want to be supported. I want to have my tribe and my people. And so they started exploring their options and leaning into home birth as an option.
So publicly funded home births are available in all the states and territories except for Tasmania, which is a relatively recent evolution, if I'm not mistaken, because I know a decade or so ago, that wasn't really an option for many people in Australia.
No, it certainly wasn't. There was definitely some out there, particularly in South Australia and in New South Wales, but Queensland literally only brought it in this last year. They've been working on that. But if you're not within 35 minutes of the Sunshine Coast Hospital, then you're out. So, and Queensland's a lot bigger than that, as you might have No, so there are a lot of women who don't have access to that, and that's unacceptable. It really, and to be fair, that program, whilst it means well, it's not servicing most of the women who want it anyway. A lot of women are excluded from that program, not just because of geographical location.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about home births as an option. They're increasing in popularity in Australia. They're also more available than they used to be. And I'd love to know if you've had one, if you want to share your experience. One person says, I'm all for home birth, but sometimes things can go horribly wrong if you're not sure that everything is in the right place. Another person is telling a story of having a perfectly healthy and regular pregnancy with their first child at 29, wanted to have a natural birth without intervention, and after an extremely long and traumatic birth, my beautiful big baby was taken away so I could get some rest. And this person talks about going into hemorrhage, and the midwife that was on shift in the hospital realised that. And this text says, if not for the fact that I was in hospital and for the vigilance of the midwife that came in to check on me, I would have died. So the stakes are so high here. Alison Weatherstone is the chief midwife at the Australian College of Midwives and is entering the chat. Alison, can you talk to me about the safety profile of home births, because that seems to be the biggest concern that people have when we're having this sort of conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Tegan. Thanks for having me. And also, I just wanted to acknowledge Maddie's experience and just her story. So thank you. We know that there are conflicting views around home birth out there, and home birth is often viewed as less safe. I think this is largely due to outdated perceptions. It's also a lack of understanding about midwifery-led care. And we did also hear about the dominance of hospital-based maternity systems in Australia from Philippa. There's also been a tendency to associate all birth with risk, which doesn't usually reflect the reality for many healthy pregnancies. So I think we've got a bit of work to do to change this perception. But certainly the Australian College of Midwives supports the choice of planned midwife attended birth at home as a safe option for women, especially with uncomplicated pregnancies. And I just wanted to touch on, there's been an Australian study, there's actually been a few, but that they found that planned home births for low-risk women had comparable safety outcomes to hospital births. And these included low rates of perinatal mortality, which is a key measure of safety and quality in maternity care. And I think women and families want to know that any care that they access is going to be safe. But we also know that women who plan a home birth have lower rates of intervention, and these are things like cesarean section, episiotomy, or an instrumental assisted birth, and they're more likely to have a normal vaginal birth and go on to successfully breastfeed. And I think there's also a lot of evidence now that tells us that women who plan a home birth are more likely to experience this respectful, continuity-based care and less likely to experience birth trauma, which we're also hearing a lot more about.
Philippa, do you want to pick that up? What would you like to see in terms of access around Australia?
Well, look, we're advocating for all choices for all women. And what we, you know, a big part of how we see that unfolding is that women could be, in fact, given an allocation of funds and given the opportunity to choose what care they would prefer. So whether she chooses to use that funding for a private hospital and an obstetrician, or whether she wants to have a home birth with an independent midwife, somebody not attached to the healthcare system, or whether she wants to use it within a hospital, either any of those is fine and come without judgment. What we want to see is for women to have the autonomy to be able to choose the care that is right for them and their circumstances. And every family will have different risk and assessments. And so, you know, if we go back to my daughter's story, she was a young mother of she gave birth at 20. She has she's neurodivergent. So for her, being in a hospital environment would cause her to have peaks in adrenaline and not feel comfortable enough to let go and give birth. And so she needed to have private midwives who she had chosen, that she fit with, that could facilitate her having a healthy birth. Because when we are not in a good psychological place, then our births inherently become more risky. And we know that to be true. So, you know, we want women to have the full access to all choices, no matter where they are, and no matter what their risk is. So women should be able to choose what they want to do, and then in combination with a midwife, choose whether that's appropriate for her, and allow the midwives to act in full autonomy. They're not obstetric handmaidens. They are a profession within their own right and should be able to exercise their professional capacity.
Also, Maddie, you've got three kids now. Maybe you don't want a fourth one, but if you had one, would you choose a home birth again?
Absolutely. But also in saying that, I would be guided by professionals in a medical sense if it wasn't safe for me to have a home birth. I would be guided by them.
Follow the evidence. Thanks to Maddie Waters, a Queensland mum of three who gave birth to her daughter at home, Philippa Scott, coordinator of Home Births Australia, and Alison Weatherstone, chief midwife at the Australian College of Midwives. And thank you for your texts. One text says, I have four children, two born at home, two in a birthing suite at hospital, three born totally naturally with help and guidance from a midwife. A wonderfully rewarding set of experiences. Another says, I had my second child at home in 2000 and felt safe as I was within a 40-minute drive to the nearest hospital. Also had a great natural birth with my first. Was exquisite to wrap up in my own bed with partner and two beautiful children around me.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.